Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
I drove into Mobile, and what did I see? 1,000 falling live oaks coming after me. Yes, sir. That's what we got this story started about.
That'd make a good promo, Bill.
Yes, it's good. So thought of it on my bicycle this morning. That's what happens when you ride your bicycle. You come up with all kind of crazy ideas.
You weren't listening to the radio?
It's all that oxygen you're getting, fresh air.
So, you know, I even said, yeah, you got to say it Mobile, right, since it's a Bob Dylan reference. Listen, we've been talking about trees falling on houses, which has been happening, and we're talking about how to fix that. That's why Chris Francis is here, and we're going to have a lot more discussion. But we talk about a lot of things on this show. David is waiting patiently to talk about yard drainage. Thank you, David, for holding on. I've also had some people send in some texts with some questions. Let me add to the person who had the caterpillars on the longleaf, and I did something really stupid. I knew they were sawfly larvae, and then I thought, well, they're caterpillars, and no, they're not caterpillars, actually. They look like caterpillars, but they're not Hymenoptera. They're not butterfly caterpillars. They're not moth caterpillars. They're not over in that family. They're something else. It's a sawfly, which is a very different kind of thing. And so BT, the things we talk about like dipel and thuricide, don't work on them. And besides which, to be honest, they're already big. They're already big, and they're eating his longleaf needles. And at that stage, you don't want to wait for dipel and thuricide. It's too slow. At that stage, malathion and 7, honestly, are not going to be very effective because the caterpillar's already pretty big. You could try something like that. So I went on just to get to make sure I knew what I was saying. I went on and looked at a number of forestry sites while we were on the news. And I punched in, what do you do about sawfly larvae infestations? What do you recommend? And they all said, leave them alone. They said, you know, you can't fix it in a forest. There's no need to. The trees are going to recover. They never do permanent damage. If you've got them on an ornamental situation in a yard, you could use something like malathion. But there's some problems with doing that, and honestly, those caterpillars are so big, that's the most inefficient way I could think of to kill is a caterpillar that size. So I would just take the limbs and shake those caterpillars to the ground, shake them into a bucket. If you've got a number of small trees, if you've got a lot of yard, a lot of longleaf, and it's in a pasture, this is a cycle thing. It's only going to happen. And practically speaking, there ain't going to be much you can do. If you've only got a few trees, however, I'd shake those limbs just to keep them looking pretty, just to make sure, give them that extra little growth spurt this year. But I guarantee you those longleaf are going to come through it just fine. They see far worse. Remember that those needles will often get burned off entirely in a year. And so they're used to that. They got it built in. They know how to take care of it. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. And Dan is asking me, how many seeds should I plant in one spot at a time when he's planting collards, mustard, chard, kale, spinach? You know, Dan, I always plant about 3 or 4 to a little container, 3 or 4 seeds to a little container. I do that because I can waste some seed, and because there are lots of things that can prevent germination, that things that I do wrong, things that the seeds do wrong, things that the seed producer does wrong, things that the seed does wrong. So always plant 3 or 4 to a little container. If you do that, Dan, which I think is not a bad idea, I think it's not a bad idea because it's the way I do it, and I haven't figured out a reason to change yet. If you do that, you need to thin the seedlings because you don't want 3 or 4 seedlings to come up together. So you got to be, you know, you got to put your big boy pants on. When the seedlings grow up, you got to thin them. Don't get timid. Don't get sentimental. You got to thin those seedlings down to you could have one or two seedlings if they're far enough apart in a container, and let those grow on. But you need to thin them if you're planting three or four. So three or four seeds is about what I do for all of those. Collards, mustards, chard, maybe only one or two chard. Yeah, because chard has got a funny mechanism. Each seed actually can sprout multiple times. Kale, spinach, about three to four seeds for each of those. That's good. David, oh, man, did I make you mad waiting this long?
You didn't make me mad. I'm still here.
All right, good.
Okay. Of course, you know, a couple of years ago, I put about 3 inches of topsoil down on my front yard, and to resod it with St. Augustine grass. Now I am noticing right up against the house and on the side of the house where I put some cement blocks to keep from losing soil and grass, that I'm starting to see grass die off. And I know it's because of poor drainage in those areas because, like I said, it's just in the area where I've got the cement blocks and up against the house. What can I do to improve yard drainage but minimize soil loss at the same time?
Well, let's see. First off, I'm not you may be right. You may be right that there's a soil moisture problem there, that excess soil moisture, that's a problem. David, where you are, when there is an excess soil moisture problem, because David doesn't live in Midtown. David lives, if I remember correctly, David, you're out.
Crestview subdivision off Government.
Yeah. Which division?
Crestview subdivision off Government.
So you're pretty high. You're sitting up pretty high.
Yeah.
And it's in a hilly area, and it's pretty sandy soils. So what's happened is that actually – you probably have a compacted layer under there that is if this were in Midtown, I couldn't give you this advice. And a lot of people talk to me about in Midtown and in Oakley, they say, ooh, I'm going to put in some French drains because, you know, the French, they got it figured out. And they're going to put in some French drains and they're going to drain their property. Well, here's the problem. In Oakley, the water table is about 12 to 18 inches deep most of the year. So you put in your French drains at 18 inches deep, and they're just going to sit there and water because there ain't no place for the water to go. So you got to have some elevation. You've got some elevation. When I see water, if water is an issue on soils like yours, on a site with elevation like you've got, because you just told me you had enough elevation that you're worried about erosion, then what that tells me is there's some compaction there in the subsoil. That's almost entirely the issue. I believe.
I can pretty much guarantee you that is one of the issues I have.
Yep. And the best way to deal with that is to crack that subsurface. And, you know, you don't want to disturb your grass too much. If your grass is already dying there, then you can go through and just crack it with that fork. David, you remember my fork cracking technique?
Yep.
You hate to hear me say that out loud again, don't you? But, you know, folks, if you take a garden fork, you can just wiggle it into the ground. You don't need a shovel. In fact, I don't recommend you do it with a shovel. Just take a garden fork, four-tined garden fork. Get a good one. Don't get a cheap one because the tines will bend. Get a good one. Wiggle it into the ground with your foot and your hand. It'll penetrate any hard pan, any fragile pan, and then you just pull back on it. And what you do as soon as you do that is you crack that hard pan. And you do that several times in an area. Say, you know, you got 5 by 5 feet. If you did that 3 or 4 times in that 5 by 5 foot square area, you've broken up the hard pan, so it's going to drain like crazy. You need to do it over a broad area so that you don't create a little bit of a bathtub there. But usually that's all you need to do is break up that hard pan, and I think that's the trick. David, I think that's the best policy for there, and I would just – that would be the first thing I would do rather than trying to do some elaborate drainage system.
Okay. Also, I have those two water oaks in the front yard as well, and the best thing that ever helped them out was I cut back the lower limb, the lower limbs on those water oaks, and the stuff that I did to help promote the St. Augustine grass basically revitalized those trees.
Yes, and I have to, before Chris kicks me because you cut back the lower limbs, I'll say I did say to do that. And we do want to, the lower limbs are the ones that are casting the most sunlight. And if you've got a sunlight issue, that's the way to do it. On younger trees, as long as you don't cut back limbs that are too thick, you know, that's the key is getting them while they're young, reducing some of those lower limbs. If you've got a lot of small saplings in your yard, my recommendation is take the small saplings out because they're the ones that are causing the most problems for your yard.
Well, if Chris kicks you for recommending that, he also needs to kick his brother because his brother recommended that to me as well. So,
okay, good. So there it is. Hey, David, it's good to hear from you.
You too.
All right. Listen, I got some beautiful pictures here from Dan. Dan, I want to talk about that lily. I just want to talk about that lily so bad. Hey, tell me where you saw it. You don't just send me a little quiet message telling me where you saw this thing. I'll tell you all about that beautiful lily. It's one of my favorites.
Have a little song. Won't take long. Sing it right. Everything I got is done and gone. Everything I got is done and gone.
We all know someone who believes their plants are more than, well, just plants. They feed, water them, they talk to them, even name them.
Perk up, Fred. Fred, wake up.
People who love their plants just seem to get a certain something from helping them grow. Non-plant people don't really understand, but Cecil Christenberry and all the folks at Old Time Feed in Fairhope understand your plants and your lawn and have the expertise you need to keep your plants thriving. Old Time Feed has been in the nursery, feed, and seed business since man landed on the moon. So buy the highest quality plants and get the best advice to make sure you start off with healthy specimens that will brighten up your home and your yard that will thrive in our coastal climate from Old Time Feed. For homeowners, contractors, and yeah, even supplies for home chicken coops, Old Time Feed in Fairhope at Highway 98 and Greeno Road.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-410-4036. That's 800-410-4036. Calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Don't fight addiction alone. Their advisors are ready to take your call. Your future is still a bright place. The help you need could be one call away. 800-410-4036. That's 800-410-4036. This call is completely confidential. And if you have private insurance, there could be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There is no need to let addiction ruin your life. Take the first step now. Call your addiction team at 800-410-4036. That's 800-410-4036. Make the free call now. 800-410-4036. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
Hey, this is Dalton Orwig with FM Talk 106.5. Join myself, Prep Sports Report's Corey LeBounty, and the man we call JD for a new show on Monday nights at 7, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Jersey Mike's. This coming Monday, we'll recap the first weekend of college football and also take a look ahead at the big matchups in Week 2. Plus, the PGA Tour playoffs head to Boston, and the NFL gets ready to start the regular season. A new show on your favorite station, Monday nights at 7, Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
And fun things to talk about. So we ain't going to listen to this music. We're going to go straight to talking because there's a lot of great things. Dan sent me this beautiful picture of this beautiful plant, and Chris is looking at it. You want an unbiased opinion? Chris Francis is sitting here looking at this picture of this lily, and he's saying, man, that's beautiful.
I think those were the words that came out of my mouth. Yeah, it really is beautiful. I wish everyone could see it.
It's a beautiful thing. We're going to put it on Flickr. Dan is out in the middle of Weeks Bay Bog, maybe right at this minute, listening to us somehow on the radio. What a dedicated listener Dan is. At Weeks Bay Pitcher Plant Bog, and that is the beautiful, beautiful Catesby's lily. The lily we call Catesby's lily, it's sometimes called wood lily, which makes no sense because it ain't a woodland lily. Look, we're going to call it Catesby's lily. It's named for a man named Mr. Catesby. Just remember, there's a guy named Catesby. It's okay. His name is Catesby. And this is the lily that he described, Catesby's lily. It is a beautiful thing, a pineland lily. Could be another name. We can call it pineland lily. Though there's a lot of lilies in the pinelands, but this is one of the most beautiful. It is an absolutely stunning lily. It used to be very common around Mobile. I used to see it a lot. Grandma, I remember, showed me one out in Chillinger's Road when I was young. Everywhere I went, when I found remnants of Rag Swamp, when I came back to Mobile, there was this beautiful lily. It's just amazing. And so I think it was really abundant in Rag Swamp. We managed to destroy almost every last remnant of Rag Swamp right now, and it's one of the things we regret. It's one of the reasons we have such severe flooding problems throughout the city. And you know, and then people say, oh, we need to drain Rag Swamp. Well, listen, folks, this is what you hadn't figured out yet. Rag Swamp was the lowest spot around. You can't drain the low spot if it's the lowest spot around. So you get flooding around Springdale Mall and all this kind of stuff. So there it is. But beautiful lily, Catesby's lily, beautiful thing. Absolutely beautiful, part of the longleaf pine ecosystem. It's why the longleaf pine ecosystem is so beautiful, so rich. One of the great things, growing in the middle of another plant, Oryngium, which has these beautiful little purple stars that are just look like weird, oh, I guess kind of like weird purple death stars, right? Except they're really pretty. Growing all around it. It's one of these things about longleaf is that, man, everything is going on in a few square meters. I could look. There's some sunflowers that hadn't bloomed yet in there. All sorts of grasses. It's one of the most beautiful wildflower areas in the world. And then Dan's got some great pictures right next to it of the beautiful white top pitcher plants, the carnivorous plants that are out there. Dan, what a great thing. That tree is a bay tree. It is a sweet bay tree. There are many trees we call bay tree in the South, and it's because we borrowed our language from Europe where there was only one bay tree. And then we came over here and we said, oh, man, they all kind of look like bays. Let's call them all bay trees, and that gets confusing after a while. But that's a sweet bay. That is a type of magnolia, Magnolia virginiana, It's fairly common in those bogs. So you got that right. Have I gotten everything else? Trey, this is Andy Soil. Trey, you got to help me on your question about the green pittosporum. I'm thinking about it. You better call me because I'm not sure I can interpret this just as well as I need to. Okay, we caught up on everybody else. Charlie, hold on the longleaf. Listen, I want to address something because we brought it up. Boy, we got a lot going on here. I brought up this was David. David made us talk about it, and that's good, David. Glad you did. I recommended to David if he wanted grass to grow under these water oaks. I said, you know, David, water oaks are going to be a problem. I didn't say cut them down. Sometimes I say cut them down. I didn't say cut them down this time. I said, look. If you gotta let the low light in. It's the light in the afternoon and the morning that's so important. That's where those low limbs play such a huge role in reducing the amount of light that gets to your lawn, and that's where you run into problems. And so I said, David, reduce the lower limbs. And David got some additional advice, it appears.
Yeah, it sounds that way. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier that removing low limbs, you know, a lot of times that is kind of the low-hanging fruit that's easy to get to. But sometimes, you know, that's okay. The main thing with removing low limbs on a tree, lifting the canopy up, is that you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to go halfway up the tree. You don't want to, I'm sure you've seen Ridiculous, it's just a huge beanstalk and then you got a little, you know, head on the top of it. That's, you know, textbook, you know, overlifting. So the rule of thumb is 1/3 clear trunk. The clear trunk is the part without any limbs on it. So, you know, you got a tree that's 30 feet tall, 10 feet up, you got your first limb, and then it goes all the way into the canopy from there. So, you know, do some quick math. You know, if it was 11 feet or 9 feet or whatever, it's fine. You don't have to go that high, but that would be kind of the limit, would be that 1/3.
And there's another way of looking at this, and I was talking with Stu about this morning, and you can comment on this too. Stu said, I love magnolias, but somebody loves magnolias. I want to plant some magnolias. And I said, okay, here's the thing you do. If you plant a magnolia, don't cut the lower limbs, because as sure as you cut the lower limbs, you ain't going to have nothing but bare soil underneath it. The old traditional way of growing magnolias in the South was to let them develop that conical shape, the cone-shaped, evergreen-shaped, what do we call it? Christmas tree shape. That's the term we use. They look like a giant Christmas tree, and they're beautiful that way. You know what the advantages of that is? When the leaves fall, they fall under the tree for the most part. Mm-hmm. When nothing grows underneath it, you don't know it. And you know what else great? If you got any grandkids, that means they can start at the bottom of that tree and then climb all the way to the top. Maybe you don't want them doing that, but it's a lot of fun if you're a kid. It's a perfect thing. When it blooms, and if you've got a magnolia seedling, that won't happen for about 20 years. I give you warning. You got to buy a cultivar if you want it to bloom early. But when it blooms, the blooms are going to be all over the canopy. So you don't have to look way up to see and smell the bloom. You get them all over the canopy. So sometimes not cutting the lower limbs is a good way of dealing with the problem. In the case of water oaks, the lower limbs are going to die out. So you can't keep that kind of conifer shape, cone shape. But there are a lot of trees like that. You can call us and ask about each one in its kind. And Charlie, oh man, we got to talk about these longleaf worms. I'm listening. You there?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So how many acres of longleaf have you got?
I don't have any, but I used to sell longleaf seedlings, containerized longleaf seedlings.
Yeah.
And the response column, was that a webworm? I just caught the tail end of it.
Okay, good. So here's what we're looking at, Charlie. We were looking at not webworms, but sawfly larvae. And they look like regular caterpillars in a way, but they're red-headed sawfly larvae. And you've probably had to deal with them before.
I have. And webworms are the worst. I've seen them in small seedlings. If you get infestation of webworms, they will kill them.
Yeah.
And they will kill a fairly large tree, you know, like 2 or 3 years old, right when it starts to cone out, you know, they will kill them. So I just caught the tail end of it.
Yeah, well, the sawfly larvae he's got a sawfly larvae infestation, and they move through pretty quick. It would have to, you know, I think foresters generally don't recommend that you do anything about sawfly larvae, in part because it's really hard to do anything. By the time you see them, they're already big. They're already done a lot of their damage. They're going to be very hard to kill with any kind of insecticide. And then you probably kill out the predators that are normally very good about keeping those sawfly larvae in check.
Yeah.
So it's there it is. In a home situation, the question is, what can you do? And I'm not quite sure whether we're dealing with a home situation or a out in the field situation. If in a home situation, you know, I'd probably squish them. That would be my technique. Or I'd shake them off into a bucket with a little bit of soap and water in it, and deal with them that way. So that's interesting. So
now, what we used to do, I know you can't do it anymore with webworms and some of the other worms, we used to put orthane on them. and that would knock them back. You know, it would kill them.
Yeah.
So,
and
I've seen them do it in forestry. Say like 200 acres, they go in there and they would spray orthane on them, but they would use a crop duster to come in there and do it to get rid of them. Because once you get them, you know, it's hard to get rid of.
Yeah, and so one of the problems, of course, with massive spraying of things like orthane was is that it killed everything, killed all the insects, killed the predators too, and then and then you set up a situation where other things that weren't a problem suddenly become a problem because the predators that normally kept them in check weren't there to do it anymore. Predators recover much more slowly than the prey, and orthane is illegal now.
Yeah, that's right. But this was 20 years ago.
That's right. So, well, and if you got a nursery situation, you might worry about it a little more. Yeah.
Yeah. But and then with pines, you know, they say if you get beetles in them, they say don't do anything. You know, used to if you had a site that had beetles in there, you would cut around where your beetles were, you know, and then cut a buffer zone and cut all those trees down and burn them, you know, to get rid of your beetles. But now they say don't do anything.
Yeah, I don't think it has much effect, and I think that's what they found is that...
It did years ago when you went in there and did that. You know, what would you rather lose, 50 acres or 1,000 acres?
So, yeah.
So, I don't know, so...
Yeah, well, and of course, with longleaf, your beetle situation, you're rarely going to have a problem where
you won't have southern pine beetle problems with longleaf, but your others, your lobs and things like that, will really work on them.
Yeah.
So I did, like I said, I just caught the tail end. I didn't know if it was webworms or what. So.
Well, we'll look out for webworms. You know, I haven't seen that much webworms on longleaf, but it. Have you seen webworms on longleaf?
I have.
Yeah. But this is I've seen sawfly in the field on longleaf break out, and this is that's pretty clearly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Charlie.
All righty. Well, y'all have a good day.
Charlie, thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Where my parents were born, and there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County? Down by the Green River where paradise lay. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train is hauled away.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
We'll expect mostly cloudy skies today with scattered thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Night a few thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And for Monday, partly cloudy with a few thunderstorms and highs in the upper 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Right now at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, get double rebates up to $400 on selected Liberty models in stock with up to $150 in free accessories. 12 months 0% financing with approved credit and free delivery up to 50 miles. Now's the time to secure your valuables in a Liberty Safe from Mike Ward's. But hurry, these deals won't last forever, and your fire and theft warranty will never run out. Remember, it's service after the sale at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, exit 5B, Moffitt at I-65 in Mobile. Just look for the giant yellow safe. Call 251-471-1137.
Contests on FM Talk 106.5 are open to persons 18 years of age or older. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Void where prohibited by law. Unless otherwise stated, all prizes must be claimed in person at FM Talk 106.5 studios during regular business hours. All prizes must be claimed within 14 days of winning. No substitution is permitted, and for all prizes with a value over $600, winners must complete a prize claim form. Present a valid Social Security number and will be issued an IRS form 1099 for the fair market value. Winners are responsible for all applicable title and registration fees and any state, local, and federal taxes. FM Talk 106.5 WAVH, their employees, owners, and agents are not responsible for liabilities arising directly or indirectly from the award or use of the prize. Bigler Broadcasting reserves the right to revise these rules at any time. For a complete copy of the FM Talk 106.5 official contest rules, visit us during regular business hours. 900 Western America Circle, Suite 106, Mobile.
loser, failure, victim, washed out, underdog, thrashed.
Presenting a list of the kind of people we're not looking for.
Wimp, slob, licked, wiped out.
A list of people who will not rise above their own fears, doubts, and uncertainties to move ever forward towards success. So if you're one of those people,
fallen, finished,
we're sorry we wasted our breath on you. We had to weed you out to get to the winners.
Champion, successful, victorious, able to leap tall.
But if you're on this list, congratulations. We want to talk to you. Come work with the most creative people in the world. Enjoy the fast-paced, highly challenging world of radio marketing and push yourself to get out of normal. Quit boring yourself and the rest of us. Apply now. This is Bill Roth, Director of Sales. Drop me an email to jobs at fmtalk1065.com today for your appointment. That's jobs at fmtalk1065.com.
Results-oriented, hardworking, invincible.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 1065 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation. Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 1065 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Okay. Okay. All right.
You thought you were going to make it through the show. Almost did.
Okay. That's enough. So listen, we got it out of our system. We're through. We're on to better things now. Dan sent me some pictures of other places in Weeks Bay Bog. You know, Dan, you got a little low area down in there next to the pitcher plants. And where there's not much diversity. And that looks like more like how a lot of our forests look now because why? Why? Because fire doesn't get down into that site. Fire plays a huge role in maintaining the beautiful features of Mobile. I just have to say that, you know, if you want to see this beautiful thing, this Catesby's lily, this beautiful pineland lily, you're only going to see it where there was fire and where there were openings. It's one of the reasons why we lost it, and then we drained swamps and all this stuff. But here's the interesting thing: at Weeks Bay, it's had a weird fire history, and there's a question as to whether the area that you're in now, Dan, where you've just got a lot of hardwoods and some ferns, I'm not sure that's natural. I think the fires would have burned down into there. I think there hasn't been as much effort to get the fire down into those areas in the past as there's been. And that's one of the reasons why Weeks Bay can be a bit spotty at times in some of the diversity that's there. But it is very hard for us to get our ecosystems back unless we have a large enough area to allow that fire to work and unless we have some really expert managers who understand fire behavior and how to make it work in a landscape like that. Fire makes a huge difference, doesn't it? So you're down there, you're looking at this thing. Why does fire make a difference? It's partly about light. In fact, it's 90% about light. Fire is the bringer of light. Fire brings light to those forest floors. And if you don't have light on the forest floor, if you've got a bunch of water oaks and other things that are casting a lot of shade, which will happen to a pitcher plant bog, there's nothing on the ground. There's nothing there. There's no flowers. There's no grasses. There's no insects. There's no nothing. It's just dead. It's just water oaks. So it's something to think about when you're out there and you see this beautiful pitcher plant bog, understanding the importance of fire in those pitcher plant bogs and how important they are to us. We'll have to talk more about fire as time goes on. Listen, so we're talking about trees today, and Chris Francis is here with me, and we talked about these hazards of trees and we've talked about the fact that there are a lot of live oaks, not to mention the water oaks. Let's just forget the water oaks. There's so many water oaks that it just almost, you think, goodness gracious, what in the world are we going to do? And the water oaks are bad, man. Chris will do what he can for a water oak. He's got more patience with water oaks than I do. But it's still, there are just so many water oaks. We don't know what to do. And now we're not even talking about water oaks. We're talking about live oaks. How many live oaks we got around our city? How many of them are beginning to have problems? Chris, how are we gonna meet the challenge of this?
That's tough, and it's going to have to be on several fronts. And so, you know, one is inspecting the ones that we have and identifying defects. I mentioned before that, you know, it's not always a health concern. You know, we're looking at structure. It's not always roots being cut. It could be what we call codominance with bark inclusion, the trunk split apart. There could be that leverage issue. You know, there's something called aspect ratio, which is basically when the limb is too large compared to the trunk. So there's a lot of different things we look at with the existing trees that we have, and then a lot of that can be mitigated. But going forward, we've got a maturing canopy. We need to be planting new trees, and we need to be thinking right plant, right place. We don't need to be planting huge live oaks, or, well, even small live oaks, in an area that they're going to get big between the sidewalk and the road. It's just not enough soil space there. And yes, they'll grow, but we need to be thinking smaller trees for those areas. We also need to be thinking about species diversity. Imagine this. Imagine if we got a disease that affected live oak, and they're out there. What's Mobile going to look like? It's going to be a desert. You know, we have covered up. And then the trees that aren't live oak are what? Water oak, laurel oak, post oak. You know, we got mostly oak, and it's going to be wiped out. So we really need to be thinking about some diversity for that front. It also kind of helps, you know, you've got different things coming on at different times of the year, and maybe you have some foliage or some fall color or something like that. But we really need to be thinking from several different angles there. But we need to be looking for smaller trees are going to fit in those spaces, or moving some of the big trees back farther so that they have more root space.
Yeah, and you know, the city ordinances can help us to do this, but you're going to have to specify things, and you're going to have to say you can't think about the trees as the last thing. So if your city ordinance says, well, your sidewalks are going to go here and your streets are going to go here and your drainage is going to go here, and then, oh, yeah, let's put some trees in there, you've messed up. You've got to plan your sidewalks and your streets and your drainage around the trees if you want to be a tree city. There's no other way around that. We don't have an ordinance that allows us to do that now, that encourages that. I hope the new ordinance does, but I'm not guaranteeing it. Listen, I hadn't seen it yet. I'm telling you, you need to look at it very closely, because if we don't do that, we could be in worse situation than we are now. The other thing, and Chris and I have talked about this a lot, you can't have a tree canopy like we have, and we are known for our tree canopy. We are known as a city of trees. You can't have a tree canopy like this and not have city personnel to deal with it. Now, Peter Toler, we love Peter Toler, man. Peter Toler is out there working his tail off. Peter and five people?
I don't remember the number. It's not very many, though.
It's a very small number of people that are in charge of – how many trees are we talking about?
God, I don't even know if they know. Millions? I mean, it's a
unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable number of trees. And you can't do that, folks.
They can't even touch every single tree, much less work even, on them. So.
And, you know, and listen, if you glaze over listening to us talk about all the different things that could go wrong with looking at a tree, here's the problem. Peter has to go out and think about every one of those things when he looks at a tree. He has to say, is the limb too big? Has it got included bark? Has it got this and that? It's not like you have to look at each tree. It's like a doctor looking at a patient. And we got a lot of patients out there, and you got one doctor. And he's a good doctor, but ain't no way he's going to see all those patients. It isn't. So we really have to, you know, the city recently, am I preaching? The city recently decided, you know, after all these years, we gotta get serious about the stormwater. Because it's a huge problem. The trees are a bigger problem than the stormwater. And it wasn't the stormwater was a problem, but the trees are a bigger problem than the stormwater for most infrastructure here. And we don't have the money or the personnel to deal with it. We got to think about this very carefully. We're going to talk about your neighborhood when we come back, how your neighborhood can get over this, how your neighborhood can begin to address these problems. Tara, hold on. I'm going to try to get back to the caterpillars and the trees question, too.
Since the dawn of time, mankind has sought enlightenment, yearned to know if the earth was round, how fire worked, and why apples fell to the ground. The cave house and quill pen are gone, replaced by three-bedroom homes and cell phones, but we're still curious. That's why a great local newspaper is so important. Lagniappe Weekly is the Mobile area's newspaper, with the stories nobody has the guts or knowledge to report. Lagniappe gets to the bottom of things, providing top-notch journalism every great city deserves. No simple one-inch deep stories here, plus we're locally owned too. 30,000 papers, more than 1,200 distribution locations, and an increased circulation this year to reach even more readers in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Lagniappe, the paper that breaks the big stories with tough, thorough reporting, plus the area's best commentary, cuisine, arts, sports, and business coverage. Pick up your copy at grocery stores, businesses, drugstores, in our iconic hideous pink or regal purple boxes. In the mail for just $1 a week and online at lagniappemobile.com. Lagniappe, something extra for Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom, 1-800-316-0266. That's 1-800-316-0266.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom, 1-800-316-0266. That's 1-800-316-0266.
Call today.
Fine Mom, the best in sports talk. Call of the day.
What is your definition of fake news?
Fake news is reporting fake news.
Brilliant.
There was a time when people thought the earth was a level plain between two mountains that were set there to hold up the sky, and that the stars were lamps hung from that sky.
The sports you love to talk about. Weekday afternoons at 2 with Paul Feinbaum on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Okay, we're running out of time. We got lots to talk about, so we're going to get started right away. Listen, so what do you do? We don't even know how many trees we got. We got millions of them in the city. The city is got maybe a little over a half dozen people to deal with it. Maybe not even that. Very few people to deal with a lot of trees, and we need to address that because. It's not easy dealing with all these trees. I mean, even in a normal city, Birmingham does a Birmingham does a terrible job with its trees. And they got a lot more people out there dealing with trees than Mobile has. And Birmingham's not nearly as large a city in some ways. I mean, it's a more compact city than Mobile. So we've got to get serious about it. But your yard, your neighborhood has got some trees, and you got a lot of trees, and you want the city to fix it. Folks, it ain't going to happen because there's no way they're going to get around to all of those trees. What does a neighborhood do? Now, I'm going to say that one of the streets, I won't say which one, where a tree fell, yesterday has called me. People on that street have called me in several times and said, you know, the power company, they're just doing terrible things to our trees. They're doing terrible things to our trees. What do we do about it? And I said, look, it's really simple. Hire an arborist to come in and do the work for you and work with the power company to make sure you've got the money on your street. You do it. Get the neighborhood to come together and do it. That always ends the conversation. But it shouldn't end the conversation because, you know, if we're going to be a good, you know, whatever we are here about saying we're going to take responsibility for our behavior, et cetera, we'll take responsibility. Make it your neighborhood priority to work together as a neighborhood to hire an arborist to come in and assess those trees and help you figure out what to do about it. It could make a ton of difference to the property values on your street, to your neighborhood. It's going to solve problems for you. It's going to save your neighborhood a lot of trouble when the next hurricane comes. But you know what? It's going to be save you a lot of trouble, even on a summer like this one, where the trees are just falling over. It can't prevent every problem, but I still believe these trees could have been addressed if we had had if the neighborhood had hired an active arborist. So I'm just going to say this out loud, and I'm not saying this. I mean, Chris Francis sitting next to me, he's an arborist. I'm not an arborist. I probably should be, but I'm not. And here's the thing. It doesn't benefit me. I'm telling you, this is what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to band together as neighborhoods. We're going to have to hire arborists who can do our work as neighborhoods. Oakley's a great case. Oakley, you know, we got a little neighborhood organization. Guys, can the folks in Oakley, can we talk about this? Linecoff's another case. Dolphin Street. We got these neighborhood associations. We got our parties. We got, you know, we somebody does something we don't like, we all get all up in arms about it. Well, listen, we defend our trees. That's good. You do that. But if you defend your trees, put your money. Can I say this out loud? Sure. Put your money where your mouth is, buddy.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be on the front of hiring that certified arborist to do the work. I mean, that's a possibility. That may cost hundreds or thousands of dollars. But you could just hire a certified arborist to consult with you. And so, you know, I've worked with several different communities where they had power companies coming in to prune. And I didn't actually do the pruning. I didn't have my guys do the pruning.
That's right.
I just worked with and met with the utility contractors and basically went over some standards, went over some things. We discussed, hey, we have this tree here, this limb here, this, and we just work out what's best for the trees, for the power company, for the homeowners. Just we kind of all work together instead of just coming through and really take advantage of it or butcher in the situation or something. So that's an option too, and that's really pretty inexpensive when everybody kind of pitches in for that.
Right, and you know, if you've already got RSA or Asplund or whoever's out doing the contract for that power company, they're already out pruning. Getting them to prune it in a good way could save us all a lot of trouble. But we're going to have an arborist doing it. They're not – Alabama Power's got a lot of things to look out for. They are not going to be looking out for thinking about your house. Yeah. That's just the way
and
it is.
And running out in your front yard kicking and screaming and yelling, don't cut my trees. Yeah, they're used to that. They deal with that every day. Yeah. You know, but having somebody that speaks their language – and it says, hey, instead of cutting back to here, let's cut back to a lateral. And they go, oh, okay, we get it now. They, you know, we're on the same team. And a little, and sometimes there's some resistance, but ultimately we all work together and establish that relationship. And I'd say the ultimate goal is that they know you care and they know that they're being watched. If they don't think that they're being watched, you know, then they have a lot more leeway with what they're doing. So that's a great idea, Bill. And it doesn't have to be me. I've got more work than we can do. So,
that's right.
You know, there are other arborists around, and there's people that do this. So I think there's some great opportunity for that and, you know, for the trees and for the community.
Yeah. So this is, listen, pay attention, folks. You got every neighborhood in Mobile has got trees. They're very important to your houses. They're very important. And every one of those trees is vulnerable. You should have seen these trees. People walked past these trees every day. Nobody looked at those trees and said, oh, man, that tree's going to fall tomorrow. And it fell. And the evidence was there that there was something wrong, but you got to have the right eyes to see it. You got to have the right eyes to see it. And it's very good. So, Oakley, let's hire an arborist. Hey, Linecoff, let's hire an arborist. Let's do this right. Let's look at these trees. Folks out in West Mobile, let's hire arborists in these neighborhoods. Mobile's a city of neighborhoods. Each neighborhood can work together to say, let's assess our trees as a neighborhood. It can reduce our cost. We can really begin to make a difference. Let's just get some good advice from an arborist. There's our thought. Let's hold on to that. I hope you're hearing this. Tara, I'm listening. We don't have much time, but Tara, thank you for holding on. I'm listening.
First of all, the saw caterpillars, you're not talking about the webworms.
Nope, talking about sawfly.
You're talking about the little fuzzy, wuzzy things that sometimes show up on azaleas and stuff like that.
That's a different thing altogether. Yes, there are a bunch of fuzzy, wuzzies out there, and they're all different. But, yeah, the fuzzy, wuzzies on the azaleas are
things. Dantanas.
Yeah.
Yes. It is the little cotton-looking things or not?
No, they are not. Very different.
Okay, the other point, with the trees, having one place that I need to look after, it was re-asphalted just last year, about this time last year, in fact. And I wanted to point out that heat itself, I mean, you look at these poor, these brave ones. Go out and re-asphalt things in August and September. It's pretty amazing. But that's got to have some impact on tree roots that are already burdened by being under streets. Is that not right?
Probably not as much as the actual cutting. I have seen the heat from the do damage to leaves right above the asphalt machines. In fact, it happened to trees, to some of my hollies. But they'll usually survive that. I think it's less the heat. I mean, not to say that the heat's not bad, but
roll over it too, of course.
Yeah, by the time you've done everything else you've done to that street, the heat is just like, I mean, it's like everything's already dead by the time you get to the heat.
Right, okie dokie. And as far, I was given a pole saw for a birthday present. Hey. How much does my family love me or what?
Right? I don't know. They put a dangerous tool in your hands. I don't know if that is a sign of love or not. Hey, Tara, call us back next week. They don't give us any more than 2 hours, folks. We've had a great show. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. We'll be back next week.
Guguzza grows in Italy. They love it on the farm. It's something like zucchini flavored with Italian chunk. I call my gal Guguzza.